Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, that's Jesus, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, couches. And then the Pharisees and scribes asked them, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" And he answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." And he said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban,' well, that is a gift to God, well, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do." When he called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And so he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, 'What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man.'" Our Father, we bow our hearts to you this morning, and we ask that these words, Lord, might come alive. We pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit now and help us to understand that it is not traditions that we should be centered on, Lord, but that our hearts would be yours. So, God, we pray, go before us now, and we ask that in Jesus' name, amen. We kind of went through some of this in the Gospel of Matthew already. And some of you might remember that tradition. Remember that study that we did in Matthew, talking about tradition. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with traditions. There's nothing wrong with traditions. Does anybody have any Christmas traditions that you have? I mean, it would kind of make life really dull. And life tends to lose its structure without having traditions. Traditions are important. I can't even imagine a life without traditions. Some of you might say, "Well, we have no traditions here at Calvary Chapel." Well, we do. We kind of do. If you think about it, you know, traditions are normal. So what is Jesus saying here? What we're learning here is that Traditions in a religious setting can sometimes become the standard for life. The traditions that we end up keeping. Some of you may have gone to a church. I know I used to go to a church. It was filled with traditions. And as long as I did the traditions, I thought that I was experiencing God. And this is exactly where Jesus is leading us, that the traditions are not to be the standard for our lives. So here we see these traditionalists, if you will, the Pharisees and some of the scribes, it says in the first verse there, they came to Jesus having come from Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, of course, is the headquarters of the religious standards. Okay? These are the guys that keep the rules and their regulations that they have made. And they now come down to see Jesus, and they want to make sure that Jesus, because of course Jesus' fame and notoriety is growing like crazy. The whole world is starting to know about this man, Jesus. So they come down from Jerusalem. They want to make sure that he is keeping certain codes. There's two specific codes that they would be very concerned about. The written code, which is the law of God, the word. The Septuagint, the books of Moses, the word of God. The written code, but also that Jesus is keeping the oral code. The oral code. Then now, you know, when you think about that, that would be considered the Mishnah, that what has been written. Now, look at verse 2. We're going to discuss the Mishnah in a second. When they saw some of Jesus' disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands. Some of us are all in our kids, you know. Wash your hands before you eat. You know, you're always telling them, wash your hands, you know. Well, that's here the religious rulers, they come and they find Jesus' disciples eating bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands. Now notice those three words at the end there. They found fault. They found fault with that. Now again, unwashed hands, according to the Jews, the religious rulers, it broke the tradition. Now again, there was a book that was written called the Mishnah. The Mishnah took the law of God and made the law of God to them more understandable. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rules and regulations were added by oral tradition to the Word of God. And it got silly. It got silly after a while, trying to keep all these rules and regulations. The oral law, according to the Jews at the time, it was a tradition to be a fence around the law. Tradition is a fence around the law, to protect the law, so to speak. And it's a good idea. The idea was right, to protect the law with traditions, until it gets silly and absurd. What am I saying? Well, on the Sabbath, according to the Mishnah, you really shouldn't look into a mirror on the Sabbath. Do you know why? Because if you find a gray hair, you might be tempted to pluck it out. Some of us would be bald, yeah. Now, why is that silly? Well, they would deem that as working. You're working on the Sabbath if you pluck a gray hair out of your head. You would be considered working. Isn't that silly? Silly. Don't put in false teeth on the Sabbath. Why? Well, God forbid, if your teeth fall out of your mouth, you would be tempted to bend down and pick up those teeth. That would be considered working. That's silly. That's the Mishnah. This is what I'm getting at. This is the code, the oral code that was handed down, the traditions. You have a wooden leg, huh? if there's a fire in the house and you have on a wooden leg. There was much debate as to whether or not you should be walking out with your leg, because you would be considered carrying a burden, you see. It gets ridiculous after a while. Well, that's what Jesus is saying here. And many such things. There was hundreds of, that was just for the Sabbath, but there was hundreds of rules and regulations pertaining to cleanliness. Cleanliness. The priests were commanded to practice cleanliness. The Levitical laws were given to the priests to protect the priests from disease and whatnot. It was to protect them. These rules and regulations for cleanliness were specifically given to the priests. But the hierarchy of the religious system, the Jews, they took and they said, well, if the priest should wash, then all of Israel should wash. And we should wash in certain ways, you see. And they put all these rules and regulations into cleansing. And it says there in verse 3, the Pharisees and all the Jews, note that. It wasn't just the Pharisees, it was all the Jewish nations. They were held to this standard that the Mishnah produced on people, this heavy yoke of bondage it became to people. All these rules and regulations, and they said all the Jews don't eat unless they wash their hands. Note that in verse 3, a special way. There's a special way to wash your hands. It's not enough to just wash your hands. You ever see a doctor when they wash their hands? Right? They scrub, they do all this thing, do this, and the Jews would have this ritual where the water would drip. The water had to drip from your hands a certain way, you know, to be considered clean, you see. It was a special way that they washed, and they held to the what? It was the tradition of the elders, the last few words there in verse 3. It was a special way. And along the way, this tradition just started to happen. Some cool priest or somebody just started washing a certain way, and they said, oh, that's a really cool way to wash your hands. I think we will incorporate that into the Mishnah. There's got to be 3 drips of water from your palms. Kind of reminds me of Grandma, who would always cut the end of the turkey. You guys heard this story from me before. Every Thanksgiving, she cut the end of the turkey off before she put it in the oven. And the granddaughter said, why does Grandma cut the end of the turkey off before she puts it into the oven? She goes, you know what? I don't know why. Let's go ask Grandma. So they went to Grandma. I say, Grandma, why do you cut, you know, what's the purpose? Why do we do this as our tradition? And she said, well, if I didn't cut the end of the turkey off, it never would fit into my oven. So I had to cut the end of the turkey off first. You see what I'm saying? Like, somebody along the way, they started washing, and they were like, that's cool. That looks really cool. That looks really like, yeah, that's the way we're supposed to wash our hands. Special way. Let's write it down in the Mishnah, you know. And hold everybody accountable, because if you don't wash your hands a certain way, you're breaking the law. You're breaking the rules. You're not holding to the traditions. And Jesus said, and many other things they did. Many other things. They would come from the marketplace. They would wash their hands because, you know, they were trafficking with the Gentiles and the dirty world, and they would wash their hands coming in from the marketplace. And Jesus, and many other such things they do. Mark records. Many other things. They were obsessive. They were obsessed with washing. Because that was the standard, you see. That was how I could be right before God. By me keeping the laws, the standards. 35 pages in the Mishnah were given to just washings alone. 35 pages. And you would be observed as to how you hold all those traditions. Why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition, the Pharisees say to Jesus? Why do your disciples eat without washing their hands? And he said, and it was right on the tip of Jesus' tongue, you see, because he is the Word of God, you know. Jesus knows the Word of God. And instantly, Jesus says, you hypocrites. Didn't Isaiah prophesy of you guys? It was on the tip of Jesus' tongue. He said, Isaiah prophesied of you guys. You people honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me.
This could be us on a Sunday. We have so many things to do. You know, I just made it to church, but man, I got so many other things on my mind. I'm at church, but I'm not really at church. I'm going through the ritual. I'm going through the traditions of going to church. But the heart is a million miles away, doing so many other things. I'm so busy. I got so many other things to do. But because I went to church, you see, God's impressed with that, you know. And Charlie, he says he doesn't keep attendance, but I think he keeps attendance. And I'm being observed. That's what Jesus says of the Pharisees, the hypocrites, those that they're play acting. The hypocrite is the person that play acts. All talk, but no heart. And Jesus says, and in vain they worship me. In vain, it's vanity. It doesn't profit anything to worship God like that. Just keeping your standards, keeping your traditions, but God would see it. It's just vanity. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't produce anything. And the teaching of the commandments of man, that's what Jesus says. It doesn't do anything. God refused the legalistic worship of man. He would consider that vain worship. Why? Because you lay aside the commandment of God. What's more important, Jesus says? Is it more important that you keep the traditions that have been handed down to you in your religious system or the very commandment of God? You see what they're doing? They're laying aside what God says and they're lifting up what man says. They're putting down what God says as commandments to man and they're lifting up the traditions of man. That's what Jesus said. You laid aside the commandment, verse 8, so that you can hold your tradition of men. Men, women who are spiritually dead, who do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, those men, those women, they love traditions. Religious systems are based on traditions. Unspiritual, unregenerated man loves traditions. This is a church. And they would define a church, well, where's the candles? How come we don't have candles here? Where's the stained glass? Where's all the little statues and the icons? You call yourself a pastor. Where's the robe? Well, I wore this just to make it seem like it. It's a holy and anointed scarf. Thus saith the Lord. Makes me speak deeper. No, you see what I'm saying? Like you would go to a church and you look around. Why do we do that? Because you're looking for tradition. Because it's those things, it's those objects, it's those little things, those trinkets that make a church. And without those things, this is not a church. This is not a church. And yet, when Jesus spoke to that Samaritan woman, you remember in John chapter 4, there was the debate on where to meet God. The Samaritan woman who was at the well, Jesus went to see the Samaritan woman, they were in a debate as to where to meet God. And the Samaritans had Mount Gerizim where they met God. That was where you go to meet God. And Jesus would look at the Samaritan woman and when he would say to her, woman, the hour is coming. John chapter 4, verse 23. Woman, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers, Jesus said this, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Notice that. God the Father is not looking for those that hold to all these traditions as though I'm reaching God. Jesus says, no, the Father is seeking those who will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The spiritual man, the spiritual woman doesn't need all those things to reach God. Sometimes they're helpful. But when they become our focus, when they become the very reason for us to, you know, to meet God, all those traditions, that's when we fell off the rails. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship
in spirit and in truth. Are our traditions that we keep as Christians, are our traditions first taught by Jesus? The traditions that we hold, are they taught by Jesus? Are they revealed in the book of Acts? And can we glean our traditions from the epistles, from the letters of the apostles? If not, don't feel bad if you don't keep the traditions. Don't feel bad. Be liberated, be free. The washing of pitchers and many other things. That's what, you know, keeping all those traditions. The commandments were broken, yet by these same people, says Jesus, like rejecting the commandment of God, you keep your tradition. Moses said, Jesus goes to the word of God. You want to keep a tradition? Here's a good tradition to keep. Honor your father and your mother. That's a great tradition. Maybe we should focus on that. And then, he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. How's that sound? You guys listening? But Jesus says, yeah, but you say. You say. They came up with something else other than the word of God, so that they can wiggle out of their responsibilities of the word of God. You follow? You see what they say in verse 11, but you say, if a man says to his father, whatever profit you might have is received from me is Corbin, that is, it's a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and his mother, making the word of God no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Jesus said, you guys have incorporated so many things to get out of what the word of God commands you to do. You make up all these traditions to get out of it. One of them here is Corbin. They say, well, you know, my mom and dad, they're really struggling. They have no food. They can't make it. So what does the kid do? The kid says, Corbin. What does that mean? Well, the money that the kid has is he can't use it for his mom and dad because, oh, I dedicated it to God. My money is for God. And they act so spiritual too. You know, I'm sorry, mom and dad. I'm sorry that you can't make it. I'm sorry. But this money is for God. Jesus says, how can you do that? How do you feel right about doing that? You can't get away with it with Jesus. Jesus says hogwash. Jesus rejects all the loopholes that was created by the Pharisees, because that's what it was. It was like W.C. Fields. They found W.C. Fields reading his Bible one day, and they were like blown away by, what are you doing, W.C. Fields? What are you doing? And he says, I'm looking for loopholes. With his cigar, you know? I'm looking for loopholes. That's what the Pharisees did. They were looking for loopholes. They were looking for ways to wiggle out of holding the commandments of God. Jesus called a multitude to himself. He figured, you know what? These guys are too far gone. They're not going to get it. They're going to hold to their traditions no matter what. So then Jesus gets the crowd together, the multitude to himself, and he says, hear me. In other words, saying, don't listen to the Pharisees, hear me. And everyone understand, nothing that enters a man. Now Jesus puts a comparison. He says, nothing that enters a man from the outside can defile him, but the things that come out of him. Those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So the comparison between what enters and what comes out. Cleansing hands is done to keep contaminants out, which is good. It's fine. But what contaminates someone is actually what comes out of the person. What is in the heart. And the disciples didn't get it. Now, they all heard. The disciples now, they entered into the house away from the crowd. I noticed this. And the disciples asked them concerning, notice those words. They asked him concerning the parable. Now, that didn't sound like a parable to me.
That didn't sound like a story that I could not understand. Jesus said, what goes into you cannot hurt you, but what comes out of you. Where's the parable in that? You see, the disciples are really struggling here with understanding Jesus. So that's why he said, are you without understanding? Don't you perceive? And then he says it again. Whatever enters a man, verse 18, whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him because it does not enter his heart. So he had to define it a little bit more. Okay, guys, listen. Let me explain something to you. When you eat food, it goes into your stomach. It doesn't touch your heart. Okay? And then he says, because it doesn't enter the heart, but it enters the stomach, it's eliminated, thus purifying all foods. Now, here's the thing. We, living in 2017, soon to be 2018, Americans, we don't fully understand how incredibly radical this is. This saying by Jesus here is earth-shattering to the Jewish mind. Again, this is the way I've been raised. I have been raised in order to have that right standing with God. There is cleansings. There is ways to do it. And Jesus comes in and he says, none of that matters. None of that has anything to do with your relationship with God. Doesn't matter how you wash your hands, although you should. You know what I'm saying? But your standing with God will not depend on how cleanliness and godliness you are. You follow what I'm saying? Jesus said, that's radical to the Jewish mind. Let me tell you. This was so radical. Now, who's standing there listening to Jesus? Peter. Mark got his gospel from Peter. After Jesus died, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, and the church was given revelation of Jesus Christ, and you know, the Holy Spirit came so that he would always remind us of Jesus and what Jesus said. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. After all of that, Peter was told, I want you to meet a guy, a Gentile, Cornelius by name, a Gentile. Peter was so stuck in the tradition. What did he see? He saw something of a big sheet come out of heaven, filled with all kinds of creeping things. You remember this? You remember the story, right? All kinds of animals, creeping things. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. What did Peter say in Acts chapter 10, verse 14? Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done not once, not twice, three times. And then the vision was taken up. Even for Peter, it was so radical. Do you remember even when people came from Jerusalem, they would come down. In the book of Galatians, Paul had to stand in front of Peter's face and call him a hypocrite. Because when Peter was with the Gentiles, what did he do? Well, he's eating sausage. Right? Think of all the stuff he was eating. Falafel, he was, you know, cannoli. He was eating all these unkosher things. And then when the Jews came, the Jews would see Peter and they, hey, what's that in your corner of your mouth? Is that sausage gravy on your side? Peter. And the Jews would look at Peter and they said, oh, and Peter was like, no, that's not me. Paul came and he said, you hypocrite, Peter. When the Jews are here, you act like a Jew, but then when the Gentiles are here, you're eating all their food. You hypocrite. That's what I'm saying. This is earth-shattering This is earth-shattering in ways that we don't understand. And this is where there was a clean delineation between Christianity and Judaism. This is where the gulf happens. The standards by which we are made right before God. Is it the law of God or is it traditions? Worry about what comes out of your heart. What comes out of a man? I'm not even going to go over those again. It's hideous. Jesus says, for from out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Open up a person's heart, and this is what you would see, this list. I won't even go over it again. It's gross. That's who we really are, that list. When I was out and I was running over the parking lot in the summer, it reminds me of my own heart, because I'm going over the parking lot, and guess what? I'm ripping out a couple of roots in the parking lot, and all of a sudden, I started running. Guess what? There was a wasp hole, and they were jumping on me like white on rice, man, and I'm running away. That's my heart. That's my heart. You crack open a person's heart. This is what's inside a person, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we see. Evil thoughts. All evil stuff coming out. Just like those wasps that just come out of the hole. Now, I know people say, people are generally good people. No. Not really. I know I'm gonna upset some people, because many people think man is generally good. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible actually teaches the total opposite. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sadly, that's what the Bible teaches. Jesus believed in a doctrine that is called the depravity of man. The depravity of man, because Jesus understood that if we were to look inside the natural man, what is inside a man? All that list in verse 21 and 22. I won't go over it again. Sorry, looking inside a man, God sees wickedness. Even with all the restraints that are placed upon man, what do I mean? Even with your wife telling you, gotta do God. A husband saying, honey, you shouldn't do it like that. All the restraints that are put on man, trying to live right so that your kids can live right. All the restraints. You go to work and they give you something called a code of conduct, right? How am I supposed to act?
Well, it says here I'm small. I'm not supposed to do that. Oh, I do that all the time. Well, I guess I'm going to hold my life according to the standard now, because that's what the book says, or else I'm going to lose my job. Code of conduct. Think of all the things, the society that we live in. That you just go into church, it presses you to kind of live like a good life. You try and live better. Pastor may call me. And all these things are placed on us, what? To restrain us. Even your conscience is given you to restrain you, to keep you down. But there's still one thing that's needed. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. For without being born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Those are the words of Jesus. You could try all you want. You could put all the traditions and all the structures around yourself that you want. You still need to be born again. That's the fix, guys. Because all these things, all these evil things come from within. Those are the things that defile a man. So to fix the heart, that when you crack it open and it's a wasp nest of nastiness coming out, the only thing that can fix you is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit coming into a person's life, flushing out that nonsense. And yet, even still, the Bible says, we still sin. That's not the question. Positionally before God, when a person is born again, they are right before God. That's the only way that you could be made right. You could put all the structure around yourself. You'll never be made right before God. Only by confessing one sin to God and saying, Lord, I'm desperately in need. I need you in my life. Please fill me. Wash out the gook. Man can be cured, but it's only by a miracle of the rebirth. Miracle doesn't happen with more laws. The miracle doesn't happen with 35 pages of regulations. The miracle is when the heart is changed. Ezekiel could see that in the age to come. Ezekiel says this in Ezekiel 36, 26, I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. The only thing that can help you, friend, is a new spirit to be placed within you. Only by God's spirit can a person be made right before God. Paul would say, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creation. Old things have passed, and behold, all things have become new. It's a new year, right? Entering into a new year. This is the only thing that will help a person. All your traditions, all your standards that you set up, all those things that you do in your head will not help you a bit. Except you bow your knee and you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I need you, Jesus. Because that's what heaven is all about, amen? Revelation 21 says this, he who sat upon the throne, he said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these words, they are faithful and true. Only God could do that work. So, quickly, we'll end with this. I want you to notice in verse 2, the last couple of words there, we read that because the disciples didn't wash their hands because they didn't do it a certain way, guess what? They found fault with them. And you think about those words. You're a Christian here today, guess what? People are always going to find fault with you. No matter what you do, people are always looking at you. Trying to find fault. Think about it. If they found fault with the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples, guess what? You're in hot water. Oh, man. You have no shot. You start walking with Jesus and you start changing your life and you start living a different way. Guess what? People are always going to find fault with you. Get over it. Just get over it. Religious people found fault with Jesus. He walked on water. Jesus performed miracles, raised the dead, taught like no one has ever taught, loved like nobody else could. They found fault with him. They'll find fault with you. You keep moving in 2018. Live for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole being for the Lord and not for men. Colossians 3:23. Amen? Secondly, common mistake in all our walk with God is to make our walk a religious one. Don't make your walk with God a religious one. Don't do that. Heard it said, don't confuse ritual with true religion. Don't confuse the two. We need to be careful that we don't consider ourselves good only by our outward actions. Going to church is great. Giving a certain amount every week, it's a great thing. Prayer times, good things. But we shouldn't base our goodness on those things. God cares about our heart towards him and towards others. And honestly, do we have junk coming out of our heart? That is what defiles a man. Forget washing your hands, start washing your heart. And lastly, all the outward washing in the world can't clean a heart. Psalm 51:6, behold, you desire truth in my inner parts. And in hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And David says these great words, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, O Lord, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse us, friends. You must be born again. And if you're born here again, right, you're only going to die once. You've heard it said many times before, right? Born once, you're going to die twice. Born twice, you die once. That's the way. Amen? Amen. Let's bow before the Lord. Our God and our Savior Jesus, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would do a radical thing in our hearts.
Help us to worship you, O God, in spirit and in truth. Lord, we renounce all the things that we may have built up in our minds that are going to be pleasing before you. And certainly, Lord, you want us to read. Certainly, you want us to pray. Certainly, you want us to go to church, Lord, and to give to your work. Of course, God, you love those things that we do that. But Lord, those are not the standards that make us right with you. Those are just overflows, Lord. Those are things that just come out of our heart because we love you. So God, we pray that you would truly, Lord, have our heart. Lord Jesus, we give you this day and we give you our hearts afresh and anew this morning. Lord, these words are so radical in a way that we could never understand. But we do pray, Lord, that we would be worshipers and not just churchgoers, God. That's not what you desire. You want us to enjoy your presence and to love you and to live for you. So friend, if you're here this morning, maybe you're not born again. This is the day to say, Jesus, come into my heart. This is the day. I don't want to just be a religious person because that's going to keep me away from you. I want a relationship with you. If you acknowledge Jesus before men, he will acknowledge you before his Father. That's what he said. So if that's you here, friend, just acknowledge that this is the day that you want to receive Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to just look up here, look at me, and just raise your hand and say, Charlie, this is the day I'm asking Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. This is the day for me. Just raise your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone? Any more? You're going to welcome Jesus into your life. It's not scary. It's not, you know. This is life. This is abundant life. This is the day that you're going to say, yeah, I'm not going to be a religious person. I want to have truly a relationship with the God of heaven. That's all it is. Just acknowledge Jesus. Say, yeah, I want the Lord. Anyone else? Let's pray for those that raise their hand. Oh God, we thank you for those who have acknowledged your Son this morning. Lord, please remove all of their stain and sin. Father, your Son has paid for all of their sin. Cleanse them now, Lord. The guilt, the shame, the embarrassment of their past life, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for it. So I pray, Lord, for that miracle to happen, that you give them victory this morning. Help them to just see it all, be nailed to your cross. You love them so much, Lord, that you died for all their sin. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that. And now, Lord, we pray for the filling to come upon them of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, fill them with your Spirit. May they experience your love in a new way. May they be encouraged, Lord, to walk with you. Fill them with a hunger for your word, that they might enjoy your presence, commune with you, and speak to you, God. Oh God, we thank you for this morning. Fill them with your Spirit. Oh God, how we thank you for this morning. And we do pray for the pouring out of your Spirit in all of our lives, Lord. May this be a day of refreshment that we can walk with you and enjoy you. We love you, Father. We give you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.